afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You are the first to arrive.
Has joined.
Okay.
I believe somebody else just arrived. Good afternoon. Well, is there anyone else on besides Brandy? It looks, Brandy, like you're the only one.
Maybe that was the universe tuning in.
Could be. Was that you, Brandy?
Oh, that little bee? I'm at my office.
Okay.
That was the little it's telling me it needs its battery changed.
It was a little bit sharp for me, but that's okay.
Sorry.
Not the end of the world. I needed to have that cleansing, so thank you.
Okay. Two more minutes. Okay.
Maybe people don't want this class. Who knows?
They're probably getting ready for Rosh Hashanah.
That's probably true. one more minute.
Okay.
Randy, you have a good day.
Okay, I'll see you later in class.
Thank you.
Has joined.
Oh, wait a second. Good afternoon.
Baca.
Randy. Good afternoon, Baca. Randy, are you still there?
I'm here.
Okay, so we can move forward.
Okay.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Yadula Chinimita Tati Seruba. Olivet Gimel, Yitzhak Sadi. Kabel Rinat Amchasad Venu Acharenu Nora Gufri Shayan Simtet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehud Ha Givavad Shamren Gimel Dalet, Yitzhak Shin. Barchem Tacharem, Rakame Sitkarcha, Dami, Gamlem, Betet Resh, Saditat Gimel. Pasim Kadosh, Ero Tuka, Nael Adata, Et Kufet. Yachid Geh Lamcha Penei Zohre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamet Zayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufal Tadiyuta. In the eighth verse of the Anabakoa, we say in a whisper. Today's class is a study of the Sefer Yetzirah. You'll find the handout on the unique you'll find it on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 9, the second column from the left. When you open up that landing page, scroll down to class 10.1, and we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kudsha barichu ishkinte bidchilu Hashem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, Vasok Torah Mitzvah, Vayhino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Konenehu. So class 10.1 opens up to Mishnah 1.8. That's in the Ramak. And if you're following along in the Kaplan version, it's 1.9. Esther Sefi wrote Belima Echat Ruach Elohim Chaim Chai Olamim Nachon Keseyo Maos Baruch Umay Baruch Shemo Tamid Leolam Waed Kol Ruach Edibur Zu Ruach HaKadosh L'Roshito Ein Chaker L'Tachlito Ein Katzba. The translation: before one can translate this particular verse, one needs to know what it is talking about. There are seven verses from here until the end of chapter 1. The 10 Sefirot are being described, yet not in the typical manner of Sefirot. The letters are discussed as well. It is almost as if it is a duplicate or an alternative discussion of the 10 Sefirot. My teacher teaches that from this Mishnah to the end of chapter 1, it is talking specifically about the 10 Sefirot and should be thought of as chapter 1a, as an addendum to chapter 1, as it is different than the earlier Mishnayot. The chapter 1, the first seven Mishnayot that we have already covered in our classes. Also, the academics typically think of the teachings of the 10 Sefirot as later Kabbalah, typically after the 13 or 1400s of the Common Era. Yet this is the earliest written descriptions of the 10 Sefirot. The typical translation of this verse: 10 Sefirot of nothingness. One is the breath of the living God. Blessed and benedict is the name of the life of worlds. The voice of breath and speech, and this is the holy breath. There are actually missing phrases in this translation. An alternate translation, which is more literal. Ten Sefirot without what? One, Spirit of the Living Elohim, life of a world, correct is his throne, from when our song, blessed with blessing is his eternal name forever and ever. Now that's one translation. It's more literal than the first one. Here is another. The voice, wind, word, or it could be translated as the voice, spirit, speech. This is the Holy Spirit. To its head can be no investigation. To its end, there is no limitation. Before beginning this class, it is necessary for every student to erase from their mind as much as possible the memory of the Tree of Life glyphs, the diagrams that we see everywhere. We need to pretend and erase from our mind that we have ever seen them before. Because you will see them and you think you understand the Ten Sephirot, but it's an illusion. It's a corruption. The Ten Sephirot, that glyph, leads you astray. It takes you out of balance. So as much as possible, erase the memory and listen to the words that I'm saying. Keter cannot be understood. Keter cannot be intuited. Yet, Keter can be experienced. Now think of our astrological solar system in a way that you have not thought of it before. Think of it as orbits being circles, with the largest circle being outside the orbit of Pluto, and each other circle being one of the planets going inward until reaching the Sun, which has no circle, only emptiness. These 10 circles are one outside of Pluto's orbit, which is the Keter. Pluto's orbit, which is Chokhmah. 3 is Uranus. The orbit of Uranus is Bina. 4 is Neptune. The orbit is Dot. 5th is the Saturn orbit, which is known as Chesed in modern parlance, but in, as Gedulah, the largest or large one in the traditional writings, the earlier writings. 6 is Jupiter. Its orbit is Givurah. 7th is the asteroid belt orbit. That's Tiferet. 8 is the Mars orbit, which is Netzach. 9 is the Venus orbit, which is Hod. 10 is the Mercury orbit, which is Yesod. And finally, the 12th is the Sun, which is Malchut. Now think of a machine standing outside of the Keter orbit, throwing planets like a boy standing on the beach, throwing and skipping stones across the water. When the planet or the rock drops into the Sun, there is no movement. Yet the ripples in the water start from that no movement. It starts, and those ripples just get bigger and bigger and bigger. Those ripples are like gravity. And in the water, they get larger and larger. Think of the boy and the water ripples. When the boy skips the stone, he throws the stone into the water, across the water. He's going from the Keter, from outside, the largest ripple. He's on the land, so it's not even in the water, but it's the largest ripple. But you can't see those ripples because it's in potential as he throws it across the water. But when it lands in the Malchut starts the ripples coming back, revealing what he had crossed, revealing the ripples that he had created by the throwing of the stone. The throwing of the stone created the potential ripples. The landing of the stone creates the actual revealed ripples. So we ask the question, which is the largest circle and which is the smallest? As the planet or the rock crosses the circles, they are creating the circles in the potential energy. That's direct light. The circles do not exist in our consciousness yet. So what do we call them? Potential energy. We call it direct light. Is it Malchut? When the boy throws it across and it's growing to the Keter, which is a point, a nothingness, so it enters the water and the water really doesn't move. There may be splashes going up outside of the rock, but at that moment of impact, at that point of impact, there's no movement in the raw water. So is that the Malchut or is that the Keter? If we say that the potential is the direct light, then what is the revelation in the physical world of the ripples in the water? That's called returning light. Remember I said, forget all about the image of the glyph. Forget about the Tree of Life's diagrams. Listen to my words as I've expressed them. Always think of the Sephirot within Keter, that Keter is outside of the Sephirot, that the largest circle encompasses all the circles within it. Where is the largest circle? It's on the land where the boy is standing and throwing the rock. This is the structure that is more truly the Tree of Life. At least that's what my teacher said, and I have come to understand it. You may not understand it because it's very difficult to erase the image of that Tree of Life diagram. But over time, if you strive to do so, you will achieve it. Each person will have their own experience. And each of the experiences can be correct. Just be careful that you are not seeing the corrupt system in your experience of the Tree of Life, of the circles. If you have questions about this, you can ask them now or call me later or wait till next Wednesday and bring it up in our class then. Because it's a very important understanding, and it's also very difficult for people to make this understanding, to think of the Keter and all of the other Sephirot within the Keter. Now let's look at the description of the Keter from the Sefer Yetzirah. 1. Not the no one or the unity, but the female form of one, echat, is the Hebrew word. Why is it female? The life of a world or life forever. This is in reference to Bina. I skipped the lines. The spirit of the living Elohim. This is a reference to Chachma. So we don't normally think of Elohim as connected to Chachma. Elohim is left column, Chachma is right column. But in the circle, are there columns? I already said this, but it does not hurt to repeat it. The life of a world, or the forever life, the life forever, This is a connection, a reference to Bina. This is one of the most important teachings in Kabbalah, and it is difficult to relate to Rabbi Ashlag's. It's difficult to relate to. Rabbi Ashlag calls it the Gimel Rishonot, the three upper Sefirot, and he teaches that they are unified, that they act as one. They are in Zivu. There is no separation between Keter, Chachma, and Bina. And if we don't call it Keter, we call it Dat. There is no separation between Chachma, Bina, and Dat. And those upper three, the Gimel Rishonot, they act in concert. But they have different names, so we know they are different. And this is a paradox. We must realize that Keter is the source of all, and yet it is not within all. If the Keter was within all, if the Keter was within the idea of the circles, then the other circles would affect the Keter. And the Keter cannot be affected by what's within it. It is considered outside of it. The other circles do not affect the Keter, but the Keter affects the other circles. The boy created the ripples, but the ripples do not affect the boy. Keter communicates to Chachma and Bina as it represents the binding by striking, the balance point between Chachma and Bina. The Ramban, or Nachmanides, a 13th century Kabbalist, in his commentary to the Sefer Yetzirah, he explains that there are three lights. In modern terms, they are Keter, Chachma, and Bina. Keter represents God's will, which receives light from the Or Ein Sof, the endless light. Chachma receives light from Keter, and is our intuitive level, our unconscious level. It has no letter or word. And that is why the word Keter relates to something outside of the whole. The crown rests on the head. Keter translates as crown. It does not affect anything, but it affects everything. Look at those words. It does not affect anything, but it affects, it causes everything. You need to speak English well enough to know the difference between effect with an E and affect with an A. Bina also receives light from Keter, and it is our logical mind. Bina and Chachma are always in zivug, in sexual union. Our unconscious is always telling our conscious what to do. We don't think so. We don't like to think so. That's the illusion. That's the ego. But we are contemplating everything from an unconscious level. And that unconscious level is never separated from our conscious level. We're just not aware of that unconscious level. Keter cannot be understood, and Keter cannot be intuited. Why not? because we are within the Keter. And what's inside the Keter cannot affect the Keter. Keter can be experienced. Since Keter has no letters or words, it is capable of sending letters to our intuitive and logical minds in a different order than exists there at this moment in the now. Therefore, we can change lead into gold by changing the letters that one brings down from Keter to Chokmah, or the letters that one brings from Keter to Bina, or the letters that come from both. Those Hebrew letters is what creates the physical items. And if we can connect to the Keter, we can change those letters that someone else brought down, that the world brought down. So we can, in effect, change lead to gold. Lead has the name Ophrot or Ophrat. Gold is Zahav. You would look at those letters and see no relationship. I could change a Vav into a Zion. But any of the other letters, there's really no easy way to substitute them. This same technique we will utilize on Yom Kippur. What do we do on Yom Kippur? We create the year ahead for ourselves. We're praying to God to have a good year. But the truth is, we create that year, that we can go up to Cosmic Bina during the Nila prayer and bring down the letters of the year to be good for us. Just as we can change lead to gold, we can bring down goodness in a year that isn't good. We just blew it last Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. But this year we have the knowledge. We're going to do it properly. We're going to make up for this craziness. No, I'm not going to tell you more because I do not know more on the intellectual level. It must be experienced. How do you let change one letter into another letter? How do you change no letter into a letter? You do this through experiencing the Keter in your meditations. Now, don't tell me you don't understand what I just said, because if you understand it, you don't understand it. If you understand it, you're not doing it. You're not changing the letters if you understand it. You have to experience it. And what does it mean to experience it? If I have to describe the experience of changing a letter, you didn't change the letter. Yes, I know that's a paradox. It doesn't make sense at all. But that is the way the system works. You don't think how you may change the letter, you just change the letter. In America, there's hundreds of millions of people trying to lose weight that are conscious that they seem to be unhealthy through their weight. Do you know how you gain weight? Satan transposes the letters that are associated with the food you ate. You want to eat all that fattening food and not gain weight? Change the letters back. Let's look now at the first three expressions in the Mishnah. Echat, the female form of one, is the Keter. Why is it a female form? Why is the word number implied but not said? Ruach Elohim Chaim, the spirit of the living Elohim. We could also translate it, is also the spirit of God lives, the spirit of Elohim lives. But this is Chokmah, this is wisdom. A hint is, why is Elohim being used? Why is spirit in the singular? There are other questions for you to formulate. Chaye with a serach vowel, meaning two dots next to each other. Chaye olamim, the living worlds, or the worlds of the living. This is Bina. You need to ask the questions that reveal the hint as to why these expressions are connected to these sephirot. The Hebrew word nachon is translated as correct. Yet that is not quite true. It can be seen as noach, which is zeranpin. And it can be seen as a fallen one. Its shorish comes from the words that mean to lead or to guide, as well as another possible shorish, which means to state or to express. Does the Gimel Rishonot lead or guide? Remember, Noach has the letters that are the first letters of my name, and they imply hidden wisdom. Some teachings in Kabbalah imply that the throne represents Bina. Meos has the numerical value of 8, which usually is thought of as Bina. Follow this logic, but don't utilize the logic. There is a modern philosopher whose name is Descartes. He's a French philosopher. And his famous statement is, I think, therefore I am. Is this a true statement? Or is it not? Can I exist without thinking? Thinking is unconscious. Thinking is desire to receive. The words or the phrase, I am, the last of the sentence, this is logical. I think, therefore, I am. I am represents Bina. It represents the manifestation. But do I need to think to manifest it? statement, I think, therefore I am, is relating to Keter, Chokhmah, and Bina. Where is which is what? What word goes to which? The word I is Keter. I don't have to think to exist. So the first word in the sentence is I. That's the Keter. Thinking, that's Chokhmah, that's wisdom. I am is Bina. Think of the four phases, the first two phases. The I is phase one. Phase two is I am. What is phase one? It is the light coming into the vessel. And the vessel has not yet transitioned to become warm, to take on the attribute of the light. Now let's look at the other descriptions of Keter and how do they relate to our limited understanding and our intuition. Nahon means correct, yet we discussed it above that it has some different ideas. Correct is his throne, from when, or is it a singing? Correct is his throne, singing. Which word or concept is the Keter? Which is the Chokhmah? Which is Bina? Blessed with blessing is his eternal name forever and ever. That's one translation. Which word or concept is the Keter? Which is Chokhmah? Which is Bina? The voice is the wind is the word. This is another translation, is voice, spirit, speech. Which word or concept is Keter? Which is Chokhmah? Which is Bina? This is the Holy Spirit. Which word or concept is Keter? Which is Chokhmah, which is Bina. To its head can be no investigation. To its end there is no limitation. Which word or concept is the Keter? Which is Chokhmah? Which is Bina? Or is this referring to all 10 Sephirot within 10 Sephirot? Why do I have to relate to Chokhmah and Bina in order to relate to Keter? Can I connect to Keter directly? Keter is outside. I can experience Keter. But what does it mean to connect to Keter? And what does it mean to experience Keter? And most students, when they get through at this point, they're irritated because there's no simple answers. Every answer is correct because it's your experience. It's your answer. We're going to discuss astrology. The astrological charts, there's a reader to the astrological chart. He's referred to as the reader of the astrological chart. He's referred to as the astrological reader. Then there's the astrological reading. It's the communication of the information on the chart that the reader has understood and now is relating it to the subject, the person. Which is the Keter? Which is Chokhmah? Which is Bina? Our class is over. Do you feel fulfilled? I have not done my job. I've given you information. It's up to you what you will do with this information. It's up to you to do the spiritual work. And you can answer the questions that I've asked. You will have accomplished much. You will come to experience. Enter. Shana Tova Tikatevu. May you all have a sweet, happy year. May we all be written in the book of life for a sweetened, happy year. May we all say, Amen.
Amen.
Shalom Gadol. Does anyone have questions?
No. Shalom.
Shalom. Time for questions, Brandy.
No answer is acceptable.
I've asked the questions. Now you need to provide the answers. But the answers cannot be proven. Enjoy the process.
Thank you, Shem. I mean, thank you.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.